Howdy, caffeinistas, and welcome to Lattes with Dr. Llama. Today we'll be joined by Genevieve Miller, author of the upcoming book, Once Upon a Knit. Genevieve Miller is a California girl who's been knitting since she was a child. She is married to her own Prince Charming and is the mother of one prince and two princesses. After teaching kindergarten, fourth grade, and the dramatic arts for 8 years, Genevieve took time off to be a stay-at-home mom. She is passing on her love of knitting to her children as well as teaching students at her children's school. Genevieve is the author of Vampire Knits, and her designs can be found in Knits for Nerds. You can find her these days knitting.
Hi, Genevieve. Thank you so much for being here today. Your new book, Once Upon a Knit, is going to hit shelves this week. Tell us about the book and what your inspiration was.
Well, it's a book inspired by fairy tales, mostly. It's called Once Upon a Knit. It's got 28 projects, and it's divided into three main chapters. The first one is called Into the Woods, and it's creatures and characters and things that you might find in the Enchanted Forest, like inspired by Jack and the Beanstalk, the Three Little Pigs, Red Riding Hood, those types of stories. And then the second one is Princes and Princesses, and it's stories inspired by Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and those types of characters, and then Prince Charming. And then in the last one, it's the evil characters. It's the wicked Rumpelstiltskin, the wicked queen, the witch from Hansel and Gretel. And I was inspired by a couple of things. First of all, I was a kindergarten teacher for a long time, and I have three kids of my own, and I love fairy tales in general. And also, I am a big fan of the show Once Upon a Time, and a couple of the projects are inspired by some of the characters on that show. So it just seemed to lend itself to a lot of projects and a lot of inspiration.
What was your favorite project from the book?
Oh, gosh. That is hard to say. My first project was the cover project, which is the Red Riding Hood. And I had that in mind for a long time. And that's actually my second version. The first one, my 8-year-old daughter took over last year for her Halloween costume because she really loved it and really couldn't wait to get her hands on it. And as it turns out, I wanted to use a heavier weight yarn and a slightly darker color anyway, so it worked out fine.
The cover is just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you very much. Probably the one that I'm most proud of, though, is the Prince Charming cardigan, because it was my first sweater design. It was a cardigan, so it was done in several pieces, and it's got a zipper sewn in. So it had a lot of elements, and it took a lot of math.
Right.
And I almost gave up several times, but I'm glad I didn't, because I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait to make one of my own. Mm-hmm. I haven't done a zipper before. It's ambitious.
I hadn't either. So it was it was a challenge, but there are some good tips and techniques out there. And actually, one of my designers, Cerulea Rose, who did a Snow Queen project, she has some videos that she's done, and I actually used her video on the best way to put in a sweater the best way to put in a zipper. And that was super helpful because, yeah, I was looking at it thinking, all right, I need to get the zipper in here. What would be the best way to do this? So, because I will admit right now that I am not a seamstress.
Well, if I did my homework right, Cerulea Rose had designed a piece for your previous book, Vampire Knits, as well.
Yes, she did the cover piece on Vampire Knits, the lore hoodie, which is gorgeous.
What is it like collaborating with several different designers on, you know, a project that's really in a lot of ways your baby?
It is, it's a real learning experience, and it's really fun because you get to see sort of the design process and what goes into other designers' process, how they, you know, go from the idea all the way through, and just the fact that they can bring such different takes on a project or an idea than you would.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting, and it's really, I always learn a lot from working with other people. The only difficult thing is none of us are in the same city. And so a lot of the communication is through email, which can sometimes get tricky. But, you know, I've got two designers in Indiana, one in Washington, one in Seattle, two in Canada. So, yeah, so that was the tricky part, just making sure we were all on the same page and we all had the same, you know, everyone works at a different pace, too. And one of the women was about ready to have a baby, and I know what that's like. So so that was, yeah. So that I always learn a lot from their creativity, and they'll do things that I hadn't thought of, which is really, which I love, because I always learn from that. But yeah, the one frustrating part is just that I can't just call them all up on the phone and say, let's meet, you know, for coffee and talk about how everything's going. So
you had mentioned kind of working with all the different design processes. What's your process?
Usually I have an idea and I sketch it out. And then, honestly, I just start knitting. I do a swatch. I try to figure out. I take measurements. And then I just knit it up to see how it works. It's probably not the most technical of processes. And some things are easier to do. Like, you know, if I'm doing a purse or a laptop bag or something that's really specific to certain measurements, and it doesn't take into account a person's body shape, you know, that's a lot easier. I can just measure it. I do the math. I figure that out. And it's usually, you know, I go from there. If it's something more complicated like a sweater, you know, I have to start with the measurements and I have to go start with a model. So for the Prince Charming sweater, I started with my husband because he was the only man around that I could, you know, use. And so I'm sure he got tired of it, but I need to measure you. Come here. I take all the measurements necessary and, you know, go from there. And, but it usually starts with an idea. I go through, you know, I have an idea in mind of what represents a character, you know, like Prince Charming or like Rapunzel. You know, I think of certain elements of that character or certain elements of the story that I like that I want to incorporate. There's a project that's not in the book that was a Rapunzel project, and I was really attached to it, but it didn't. My publishers just didn't kind of get my vision, I suppose. And so that I might have available at some point on Ravelry or something, but I tried to take pieces of the story. You know, the Rampian, which is what Rapunzel's mother was craving during her pregnancy. And so I did a lot of research on what colors I would use for that and what the flowers look like. And I used part of the, you know, a trellis pattern that might be, you know, representing the tower and might represent where the Rampian would grow and, you know, things like that. Every project is slightly different on how I get from one thing to another.
Well, and I definitely hope you you put that up on Ravelry, because I know we'd all love to see it.
Thank you.
Or at least pictures of it on the blog.
I think I actually did a blog post, it was probably close to a year ago, about my how an idea becomes an actual project, and how I started out with this, and then I had to change it to something a little bit more mainstream, and then it went to, you know, this project, and I tried this, and that didn't work, and whenever I talk to groups of people or groups of kids about what I do, I show them my mistakes, because I think it's really important for them to know that, you know, sometimes you have to mess up 3 or 4 times before you get it right and not to give up. And so they always kind of laugh, because one of my failed attempts at that project turned out, in theory, was really pretty, but again, the way that it was put together didn't work so well. And so I put it on my head and it doesn't even come close to fitting, and they all get a big laugh out of that.
Well, and you had mentioned that you had this idea and the publisher just maybe wasn't as on board with that sweater. Can you tell us a little bit about the experience of putting a book together? Because I think that's a very different experience from creating patterns for Ravelry or patterns that you're selling privately when you have an editor and a publisher who all have an opinion in your project?
Definitely, definitely. Well, my first idea, actually, I had an idea for fairy tales only, and then I also had an idea for sort of monsters only. They were two completely separate books. And I would pitch the idea to my publisher, and because I already was established with Pottercraft because of my first book, they were looking for new ideas, and they, you know, were asking me. So my agent and I were, you know, were putting together my ideas and letting them know. And they sort of liked the monster idea, but they weren't quite sure. And they sort of liked the combination. And so I thought, well, maybe if we put the two together and we could make them Halloween costumes, and then we could do Halloween sort of decorations and all kinds of things like that. And so that was one of the pitches, and they liked it. But then they came back and said, you know, we don't want it to be so seasonal specific, so maybe we don't, you know, we take the Halloween name out of it and we just call it, you know, Fairy Tales and Monsters or something. And that's when I said, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I want to separate those. And I didn't want to give some of my monster patterns away into a book that it may or may not even, you know, work with. So right. I said, let's just do fairy tales. There's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of fairy tales to draw from. So I'm sure that we'll come up with all kinds of different things. And I already had a whole list of things I wanted to do. And so then I spoke with, I kind of had the idea of which different characters I wanted to represent. And then I went to the designers that I had worked with before, and I asked if any of them had any ideas, or if any of them may, you know, be interested in, you know, in coming up with something for specific characters. And some of them already had ideas that they, you know, that they had in mind, and they were, you know, right on board. Others took an idea that I had, and, you know, they completely made it this amazing, beautiful thing. And then, you know, we sketched it out, we brought it to them, and they liked some of them. Actually, they liked all the projects. Some of them they just wanted to tweak a little. And in the tweaking, a couple of them got lost along the way, which is unfortunate, because there was one project that was really, really a cute project, and it was a little frustrating that it wasn't going to work out because the designer had one idea in mind and the publisher had another idea in mind. And I really fought hard for the designer, but in the end it just didn't work out. So, and then we just go from there, and, you know, sometimes things get lost along the way. I had three projects, in addition to the six I already have in there, that got dropped. One of them was the Rapunzel project, and, you know, that's fine. You just,
save it for the next
sort of
book.
The way it goes. Or, you know, you do it on Ravelry. Like,
right.
I had a floral crown that I posted on my blog. That was one of them. And then the Rapunzel project turned into a hat that they wanted with braids that I really didn't want, because I thought we didn't want to do costumey. That was,
right.
You know, anyway. But it did turn out to be a really cute hat, but they didn't end up using it. So I've posted that on Ravelry and on my blog. And the third project is eluding me right now. I can't remember what it was. Must not have been that amazing. I'll probably think of it right after I'm done with this conversation.
Probably. I'm sure at that moment, right after we hang up, I'll think of all the really, really good questions. What would be your advice then to, I guess, budding designers looking at the possibility of trying to get into putting patterns in a book? I think one of the emails that we get most often at our blog is, what's the advice that you have for new designers? And it always puts me at a loss, mm-hmm. as I haven't done a book. you know, I always open with, I feel underqualified to answer that question. So I want to ask the more qualified,
mm-hmm.
what would be your advice?
I don't know that I'm necessarily more qualified. my situation was so bizarre with the first book. It literally sort of fell into my lap. I had this idea, and I brought it onto Ravelry in a group setting, And it was actually, it was in a Twilight group, and somebody said to me, or somebody started a thread, you know, you've been reading too much Twilight when ... And I said, all you can think of is, you know, designing patterns and putting them into the book and blah, blah, blah. And it just took off. And I had a lot of people involved, and it just sort of evolved a life of its own. And then there, my agent heard about it somehow through Ravelry and contacted me. And, you know, we pitched it to several, you know, she helped me write a proposal. We pitched it to about 12 different publishers, and we had a couple that said, you know, it sounds interesting, but we're sort of doing something that might be considered similar genre, and but all you need is one to say yes. And Pottercraft, which is a division of Random House, which is, you know, the biggest publisher in the country, were the ones that said yes. And in the process, obviously, it turned from a Twilight-themed book to a vampire-themed book, more general, which worked out fine, and, you know, I love
it. Well, and, you know, licensing.
Right. And because of it, actually, I had some more influential designers hop on board, which really was fantastic. So, but I say, you know, if you have some really great ideas, get them all sketched out, you know, have them all written down, write a proposal. You can do a search for literary agents or reach out to other people who have had books published. If you want to do it completely by yourself, that's fine. If you have other people that, you know, can contribute, reach out to them. And just be prepared for rejection. Be prepared that they might like some of your ideas, but not all of them. And you can always self-publish, which is something that I may do down the road with some ideas that may or may not be something that a traditional publisher might want to do. And there's,
well, and
you know, several ways.
Ravelry makes such a great venue for self-publishing.
Absolutely. And also I'd suggest to try to get your name out there as much as possible. Have patterns on Ravelry, have a blog where you keep track of things, and try to post your blog different places so that you can get your name out there and so that people will recognize you and your work. I would start from there. I kind of did things backwards.
Both Vampire Knits and Once Upon a Time really focus on supernatural, sci-fi, and fantasy patterns. So what kind of draws you to fantasy-inspired design?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I've always been sort of, I really like, you know, fantastical, whimsical, science fiction-y kinds of things. You know, I've got three kids, and, you know, we love Star Wars. We love Star Trek. I've got all of my kids now completely involved in Once Upon a Time since the hiatus started. They knew that I watched it, and they just started. I used to work at Universal Studios, and I was a tour guide on the tram tour, and I just have always loved, you know, the Universal monsters and vampires and just sort of magical stories. I guess it's sort of an escape from, you know, the regular. I love Harry Potter. I love just that element of anything is possible.
Well, and I love that picture you gave us of you and your husband and kids, you know, kind of nerding out a little together.
We were at a convention, Stan Lee's Kamikaze Convention, and we had my husband and I, and my oldest, my son, had Star Trek outfits, and we had worn them for Halloween, and then the convention was the day after Halloween, and so we just couldn't resist, you know, going full out. And my daughters love dressing up, but they didn't have anything Star Trek, and they really just didn't want to put their Halloween costumes back on, which was pretty funny. But we've attended Comic-Con a few times, And I actually had a book signing for Vampire Knits there a few years ago, which was really, really fun. I'm hoping to at least attend and promote the book a teeny bit this year. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. The one in San Diego in July. So yeah, we're all just a little, you know, we're all kind of nerdy here. It's okay.
Well, I think everyone's got a little nerd in them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also did some designs for a book called Knits for Nerds by Tony Carr, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Joan of Dark. And I did a set of three pieces that are all different wigs, sort of hat wigs, based on Princess Leia. One's the big giant buns. One is I don't know how familiar you are with Star Wars, but in Empire Strikes Back, she's got her hair up, and she's got sort of a braid that wraps around her head. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is it's got a bun on top, and then the two braids that sort of loop in the back, which is what she wears in Cloud City. And then I did a Kindle and an iPad cover in Gryffindor colors. So.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and she's doing another geeky knit book she's working on, and I've done a design for that too, so I'm looking forward to seeing all the other things she comes up with. She's got some pretty cool stuff. And it's nice to know that there's, you know, a lot of us nerds out there.
We're prolific. Nerds are everywhere.
Yay.
So this being a fairy tale book, I have to ask, who's your Disney princess?
That is an interesting question. Probably Rapunzel, because she is just different. She's super spunky. She's not very passive. I don't know. There's just something about her that I really like. And I like all. I love Sleeping Beauty and Snow White, but there's something about Rapunzel. I just feel terrible for her, and I really love, you know, the movie that they did. And I'm probably one of the, I'm in the minority in that Ariel is my least favorite.
You know what? I agree with you. I'm a Belle girl myself. Mm. Jack is all Mulan.
Yeah.
But I've never quite understood the Ariel fascination.
Yeah. Yeah. Belle's a good one too. I love Beauty and the Beast and I read a ton. So Belle's a good one too. And
yeah.
In
I love a girl that loves the book.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I love that I have two daughters and they read all the time, which is awesome.
Well, before we go, tell us where we can get your book.
It can be found on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I'm assuming in Barnes & Noble stores. And hopefully most Michael's stores, craft stores, will be carrying it. And I'm not entirely sure. Most local yarn shops, I'm hoping, will carry it. If you're in the L.A. area, Vroman's will be carrying it as well.
Fantastic. Well, I cannot wait to get my hands on a copy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And I had a great time.
Caffeinistas, I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. Until next time, knit fast, die warm.